Deacon talking. The most holy body and blood of Christ.
Let the Spirit come down. Let the Spirit come down. Let the Spirit come down.
Father Dan Crosby is a member of the Capuchin Franciscan province of St. Joseph. As a spiritual director, there's none better. His lectures on Becoming the Eucharist We Celebrate brings hope for the world and has reformed my thinking on the subject. And they're perfect for this feast of Corpus Christi. I've taken his four steps, take, bless, be broken and share, but you need to hear the full account from him to become rooted in the full meaning of the Eucharist. Mike Anderson's hymn, Lord, We Bring You Bread, could have been called Take and Bless. You'll see why when you hear it. It's really excellent. But let Father Don Gergen begin our prayer time today.
Let us once again pray. Lord Jesus Christ, so present to us in history as well as today, eternally present in the life of the Trinity, historically present in our own day, we give you thanks for the gift of your Eucharist. Help us always to see beyond it into your real presence there. Help us to adore you in the midst of the bread and the wine, your sacred body and blood. Amen.
Jesus made the crowds welcome and talked to them about the kingdom of God, and he cured those who were in need of healing. It was late afternoon when the 12 came to him and said, "Send the people away and they can go to the villages and farms round about to find lodging and food, for we are in a lonely place here." He replied, "Give them something to eat yourselves." But they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go ourselves and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. But he said to the disciples, "Get them to sit down in parties of about 50. They did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, raised his eyes to heaven, and said the blessing over them. Then he broke them and handed them to his disciples to distribute among the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted, and when the scraps remaining were collected, they filled 12 baskets.
Genesis tells us about Melchizedek. It's probably the only old priestly name that I can remember. He's the king of old. He points to the kingly function of Jesus. As a priest, he offered sacrifices of bread and wine. Jesus offered bread and wine at the Last Supper. So the story of the Eucharist can be suggested to begin with this old priest, and it eventually led to the covenants with Abraham. So the new covenants with Jesus began with bread and wine. And later it's described in the Gospels. Today it's described, not in the Gospel in particular, but it's described by Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. He also considers the part played by this in recalling the events of the Last Supper. The Catechism tells us that when Jesus initiated the Eucharist, he gave a new and definitive meaning to the blessing of the bread and the cup. Now, every Eucharist is a celebration of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. At the Last Supper, Jesus also performed a priestly function like Melchizedek and deliberately chose the time of the Passover to fulfill what had to be announced. This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Paul is well aware that the bread and wine is being offered as Jesus' own body and blood, the ultimate sacrifice. This idea of sacrifice is explained in great detail by Bishop Barron in his Word of Fire. And he says it's something that we mustn't skim over. The sacrifice will make all relationships right with God, and each celebration continues the saving power of the cross. Each Mass, then, has at its core the serious nature of salvation. The function of a king and a priest is to unite people and care for them. The Gospel accounts of the feeding of the 5,000 is a great symbol of this, and with people gathering to be united with the king. However, notice who has the task of feeding them. Jesus blesses the loaves, breaks them, but then he hands them to his disciples. From this point onwards, the gospel story leads Jesus away from those disciples towards his journey to the cross. The Catechism says of this event, the 5,000, the miracles of the multiplication of the loaves, when the Lord says the blessing, breaks and distributes the loaves through his disciples to feed the multitude, prefigures the superabundance of this unique bread of his Eucharist. Dom Henry Wandsborough, OSB, described this beautifully in his Wednesday Word as a sort of open-air picnic Eucharist, which the crowds enjoyed after they had first been fed by his word. Let's take this event and see what Father Henry means. The people loved to see Jesus and went to any lengths to be near him, even travelling to the desert. They wanted to hear and talk about the kingdom of God, and Jesus welcomed everyone. He never turned anyone away or said they were too bad to receive any of the loaves and fishes. You know, Peter, don't go to that little group over there, they're the outcasts. First of all, he talked to them all, and then he cured them. Father Henry says, the Lord heals those who are in need of healing. Isn't that all of us, all of the time? Jesus then takes the loaves and fishes, like a priest raises his eyes to heaven in order to say the traditional blessings. Then came what many believe to be a most important moment, the breaking of the bread. He broke the loaves and fishes and gave them to his disciples to set before the parties of 50 for them to share and eat. Here we have four actions that are the steps to becoming Eucharist. Jesus repeats them at the Last Supper. The words to think about are take, bless, broken, share. Very simply put, they're in both events. When Jesus takes the bread and holds it as an object of desire, we are the bread he is holding. So in response, who do we take and reach out to hold? Does this include the ones we're not sure of? Secondly, the blessing isn't like a blessing that we have. You know, might be asked to go and bless a house where we ask God to sanctify and protect. This is our Catholic way. The Jewish blessing is more ancient. The action doesn't put a blessing onto an object. It means more than this. It recognizes that the bread is already full of God-given goodness. The bread is already a holy gift from God. In the Eucharist, we too become a blessing. We are holy. Do we recognize this sacred blessedness in others, blessed from the inside out? Thomas Merton had a famous Eureka moment in a Louisville Mall district where he saw everyone shopping there as a brother or sister in Christ. The third step is to be broken. This is a difficult dimension. The loaf has to be broken open to use it. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he knew he had to be broken. And there's a natural fear to this, being broken. Father Dan Crosby, who explains this much better in his DVD, Becoming the Eucharist, says that when we say amen to Jesus, it means that we accept our bodies being broken too. Are we willing to let ourselves, allow ourselves to be broken open for others? Can we become less judgmental to others? Can we listen instead of speaking over someone? Can we let go of grudges when someone has hurt us? Whatever form it takes, it's a way to be true when we say amen to our own brokenness. The fourth step to becoming Eucharist is to share, feed the world. The Eucharist is a meal shared, but not just our food, more a sharing of ourselves as well in loving service, like Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Jesus opened his table to outcasts, sinners, the ungraceful, and he takes them to himself. He blesses them and recognizes their blessedness. He allows himself to be broken for them, and he shares himself, and he tells us to do this. How? In our journey of faith, we've been given several sacraments to allow important or difficult times to be a celebration of all that becomes our life story. They make the ordinary events and actions of being alive a holy experience and encourage us to be fully alive in the love of God. How could we ever think ourselves worthy of such a relationship without Jesus? By the constant celebration of the Eucharist and receiving Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion, we are brought holy, pure and faultless into his presence. The feast of the body and blood of Christ invites us to ponder on how we become fully alive by this sharing in the new risen life of Jesus in the Eucharist, and share it equally in the world. We're invited to look at people with the eyes of Jesus, take them to ourselves like Jesus, see their blessedness like Jesus, be broken for them like Jesus, and to share with them like Jesus. The Eucharist is seen as the sacrament of love. This love is meant to be shared as the food in the gospel. At Mass, we can be enriched and nourished by the Word and the Eucharist. We are united in love through Holy Communion with Jesus and can now be expected to be treated as disciples who should distribute the same gifts. Jesus spent time with his disciples, teaching them the good news, healing the sick and demonstrating how to act. Then he told them that their role was to give them something to eat yourselves. The work of love begins as each Mass ends. Go and announce this gospel.
Lord, we bring you us and bless us. Take and transform. May we give witness to your love that changes all.
Lord, please come to me in spiritual communion. Send your body and blood gushing through my veins. Send your love into my heart, my soul, my mind. Lift me up to your bosom and infuse me with your divine love. Amen.
Change my life around. Let the Spirit.